Let's talk about it.
Hello and welcome back to Thick Radio, the podcast where we talk about gaining, feedism, and everything in their orbit. I'm James.
And I'm Tim, so let's get into it. Today, we're welcoming to the show for the first time. Today, we've got one of our good friends, Brian.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I am well. It has been a day. We got some events going on, so I'm excited.
Well, thank you for making some time to be with us. We're very glad to have you here. You're one of those people who I think ever since we first started this podcast, we'd sort of thrown out there like, oh yeah, we'll have you on. You know, we'll make it happen and 3 years passed. And, you know, but hey ho, sometimes it takes a minute because, you know, things go on, but we're here now and that's what's most important. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here. We're really looking forward to it.
Thank you for having me. I've been excited and also nervous, so
now don't be nervous. The orgy isn't until afterwards, so long as you know, taken the requisite amount of Crisco and lubricated beforehand, you will be perfectly fine.
Oh, don't mention Crisco to me.
Did I ever tell you, James, that story about that one claw that I went into my friend's room and they had all these buckets of Crisco sitting around? So, you know, Claws, that leather event, for the listeners, in case I'm sure that they've heard an episode of me talking about it, but big leather event, lots of other fetishes involved. So I go into his room because I'm going to be stashing some of my stuff there, and I see all these tubs of Crisco, and I'm like, I know y'all aren't frying chicken, so what is this about? And he's like, well, sometimes it just helps as a leather event.
What?
For fisting, just so that we're clear, for fisting, not for regular penetration, but for fisting.
My story is not so interesting. It's interesting. It's more of a failure than anything involving Crisco and fun times.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody tried to have me top and use Crisco on a condom.
And how did that go?
Oh, I had to stop and have an education moment.
Right.
Yeah, the friction, I think, would be a problem.
Hang on. Because Crisco is animal fat, right?
It's vegetable shortening. It's like vegetable oil that's been put through a chemical process to make it solid. Kind of like margarine.
Okay, and so what you would use it?
You would use it, like, traditionally you use Crisco in place of shortening or lard.
Right.
Because we used to make pastries with lard to make the crust flaky.
Right.
So that's, Crisco was then made as a cheap alternative.
Right, so flaky crust, or I suppose if you've got like a typically dry piece of meat, like a turkey, you might put it on the outside to adhere to the seasoning, to keep all the...
I guess so. I've never seen anyone slather meat in Crisco before, but...
All I know is like that Drag Race season 2, like, grass shortening! God bless Jessica Wilde. I had no idea what product they were selling. I was just very entertained. She was in the chicken suit. But... That's
because Crisco is quite often used for frying chicken. You just throw a big lump of it in the pan, wait till it melts, and then toss in your chicken.
Fried chicken in it. Well, okay. Americans, when I'm next in America, I would like to try Crisco, please and thank you. Or at least something made with Crisco. So,
yeah, you wouldn't just take a spoonful of it. It's you
wouldn't just eat it. I mean, fair. Yeah. But you know what?
It doesn't taste good.
We're not talking about Crisco today. We're talking about something a little bit different to Crisco. It's closely...
I'm sorry I derailed the conversation.
That's fine. I think that just keeps in tandem with our very typical tradition of, here is a topic, now let's off the cliff into a different direction and somehow claw our way back. Claw. There you go. Claw. Coming back around to hypnosis. So, Brian, we're talking to you today about hypnosis, and I just want to share with the listeners a little personal anecdote about the time that you and I first met, because obviously you and I have talked for a time prior anyways, and I thought, you know, we're friendly, we'll chat, we'll hang out, we'll get on. Did I think that when we met, there would be an instance where you would truly be using Fae-level witchcraft and sorcery to convince me to eat food? No, it didn't! And yet, is that what happened? Absolutely. I'm still not convinced that you don't hold some kind of genealogy with magical creatures or contain some kind of devil magic from Puerto Rico. I don't fucking know what the people in PR are getting up to. If there's magic and bullshit, let me know because I need more of it. But it was real good. It was real good. I ate so much. Holy shit. So listen, are you ready to get into some questions about hypnosis and things of that nature today?
Yes, I am definitely ready. And I had fun instilling good habits into you.
Well, I mean, I suppose like a good place to kick off here is this ability that you seem to have channeled. Do you, I mean, I think it would probably fall in the logistical realm of hypnosis, but like, do you call it hypnosis or do you call it something else? Like, how do you approach it?
So for me, it is a bit of hypnosis. I like to call it corruption because it's longer than just a few moments. Because to me, hypnosis is like you're in a state for a certain period of time. And once you're out of that state, there's like minimal thought process for that later. But I feel like corruption is like a more deep-seated hypnosis where you're actually altering your mind for the future and wanting it more.
A more permanent approach, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, how long have you been engaging with that kind of psychological amendment process?
I would say it's probably been like 7 years-ish. Someone who does not exist anymore on Grommer got me into it. And he had sent me like a couple of clips and I was like, okay, this is really interesting. And at first it wasn't anything that like really caused an effect for me, because I would listen to it, I'd kind of zonk out and then wake up, not remember anything or not have the effects continue. And then it started to affect me more and more the more I did it. And that's when I really started to get into it and looking up more hypnosis and getting into the whole corruption thing, like long-term effects.
And I mean, so in the time that you've been using it, do you feel like either in a self-application or when you've applied it to others, do you feel like it has had a demonstrable effect?
I think so. For myself, it's definitely gotten me in a better mindset with gaining. I've had a more positive outlook the more I've done it, instead of it being a competition with people or anything. I put myself in, I am growing. I am getting bigger. I am big and I am hungry. For others, that was something that I discovered and had way too much fun with. First, it was like, okay, let me get you, instead of the typical, let me swing something at you or count, because I don't necessarily enjoy my voice. I was able to get people in that mindset of relaxation through massage, through rubbing, things like that. And then coercing them into eating now that they're in a more relaxed state.
Aha, uh-huh. So confirmed, you sneaky little bastard. That's how you do it. Because you did it to me too. You gave me a massage that one night on the deck, and then I was like, I'm fucking hungry. Like, what is this?
Yes, yes. Let's talk about this. This is the moment in the podcast where we're going to out you as a sneaky little demon that we love with all of our chubby little hearts, because what happened was We were on deck of the cruise and having, I think, a wonderful time. I think everyone was, you know, truly going for gold when it came to the eating. No one was really holding back. And it was the typical, like, post in a buffet. Everyone's out on the deck in the typical smoking section where most people can just sit and chill while everyone's kind of gathered around just chit-chatting, right? And there's Brian just sort of making his way around the people and being so adorable and so sweet and going, do you want a little massage? And me, obviously, I'm like, yes, girl, come on, massage your shoulders. Yes, please. Oh. And when I tell you what I had experienced with this son bitch, what he had made me feel was so relaxed beyond imagining. And there was truly like a porn moment where like, I am just in my head, so comf, so good. And you can almost hear that soft voice going, are you hungry? I think you could eat something. And I was fully sat there like, oh my God, this is actually like, what is this? And just kind of shrugged it off like, it's fine. Like, oh, this is horny for roleplay reasons. And I'm just gonna enjoy this.
Yeah, and then we were like, let's go get a pizza.
And we were like, let's go get a pizza. And I remember either texting you that night or the next morning being like, what the fuck, Brian? Like, how does this work? What is this witchcraft? It was amazing. Oh my God.
I think it was the morning after, because I was like, I wonder if he actually did. I hope so. And then you were like, what did you do to me? I didn't even do that much.
Because the thing is, right, it's not like, and again, I think this is the thing, right? Like, when we talk like role play, like, sure, like role play, like, yes, master, do whatever you say. Like, sure, cool, great, right? But we're talking like, this is the realm of genuine cause and effect. And when we went and got pizza after, because I had a tendency to be like, you know, I've had a buffet dinner, I've been snacking all day anyways, I might do like two slices. I might just do two slices, just a little something else before bed, right? But when I went to the little collection place to be like choosing how many slices to put on my plate, it really felt like something within me said, oh, come on, dude, like, you don't want to, you want the whole pie, you want the whole eight. And I just went, okay. And then I was just munching away at it. Didn't even cross my mind that someone had suggested to me to eat more. But I was just like, well, shit, I've been making a pig of myself on this cruise. This must be my natural appetite increase. It must be part of... Nah, bitch, it was Brian. And this thing of suggestion, which, you know, to anyone listening who's like a psychiatrist or like knows the true like semantics of like how this suggestive shit works, please reach out to us at thethicradio@gmail.com, because I feel like there is a program that we could sell to gainers. We could make a mint off it and everybody's gonna get fat. So like we need resources, we need more of it.
Like, I have to admit, I am a bit skeptical about hypnosis, because I have watched those gainer hypnosis videos that have been out there before. I've listened to them. There's something like, I've done the ones where I just listen, then I've done the ones where I try to watch the spinning wheel and listen, and the spinning wheel just makes me motion sick. And I don't feel that anything has happened. So like, I know that there's a psychology behind, like, you have to be susceptible to hypnosis for it to actually work. So maybe that's why it doesn't, is because I'm a skeptic. Like, is there a workaround for that?
So I always try to frame it as, like, before you go in, like, allow yourself, because you want this. You want to get fatter. You want to eat more. And at least for myself, a lot of the holdback is stressors of life and, like, all this stuff and, like, reality. So for me, the hypnosis is a way to get my body to do that, or to do the things it wants, by turning everything else off. So going in for a massage, I use the hypnosis tracks as like that is my relaxation beforehand, and then going into something deeper. Like, those audio tracks are what put me out to let me relax enough to allow everything to happen. So massage or watching a movie or listening to music, just turning your senses off so that you can just exist. I know some people would do the immersion tubs with like some hypnosis tracks so that they could put themselves in that state.
I am kind of curious about those isolation pods, although I'm also afraid I may drown in it.
I don't think you'll drown. I think you're kind of buoyant enough.
Yeah, well, no, but yeah, but exactly. But like, what if my head just dips back a little too far, or I genuinely fall asleep, and the next thing you know, they're like dragging my dead body out of it.
Well, what I'm liking about this is, again, we're kind of peeling back the layers here. Like, it's not the typical roleplay hypnosis of I'm taking over your mind and forcing you to do something, especially something you don't want to do, right? The basis of hypnosis is suggestion, and unless you choose to be susceptible, it's not going to work, right? So I think what helps in that instance is what you would be hypnotizing someone to do is something that we already want, which is to have a bigger appetite, to grow bigger. And you're not suggesting something as banal as grow bigger, because what does that even mean? That's nothing, right? It's not going to magically make you bigger. You're encouraging the thing that will help someone to get bigger, which, as you mentioned, is oftentimes the struggle. Like, I'm a stress starver, right? Like, 9 times out of 10, if I've had a big day or if I'm not feeling great, like, I'm not able to stuff or get as much in as I want because of that general stress. So how do you negotiate that? Something like what you do, I think, is a really great way of navigating that. I mean, how much do you feel like it's affected your own journey to indulge in that part of it?
It's actually become a huge thing for me, because at first it wasn't affecting me that much. I think it wasn't until the cruise and seeing everyone else, because it had been so long since I've gone to like any gainer event. And there was a bit of toxicity with myself of, I need to be bigger, I need to catch up to these people. And after being on the cruise, I realized that there's more joy that can come from it. So enjoying good food, allowing yourself to relax. I ate more just being relaxed and not stressed about everything in life. And since then, it's been stay positive, keep yourself happy. Because when you're happy, you eat. Because I'm also a stress starver. And so by just allowing myself to give up those stressors, those earthly tethers, if you will, I'm able to put myself in a place where I'm just enjoying the food. I'm enjoying the feeling of being full. And pushing those helps me more than just, I need 7,000 calories, this much protein, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's all stress.
I appreciate the Legend of Korra Season 3 reference with let go of earthly tethers and become the wind. Like, come on. Come on, Zahir. Although, because you're fat, it would be Zephyr. Something I want to reference here. We talk often about these unintentional seasonal arcs that tend to happen. And the way this season started is we seem to really be focusing on communication, which I don't think has slowed up any, but certainly something that I'm noticing about a lot of these latter conversations is it is centering around peace and joy, right? This idea of coming back to a place of, what if gaining isn't performative? Like, if the gainer community ended tomorrow, if the internet died and you were just like on your own in your house and you never got to speak to another gainer, aside from the fact that, yes, that would suck, like, would you still want to gain? Because that has to have been the initial kernel that we all like grew from when it comes to this desire. And sometimes, like you say, when you make the focus how we perform in front of other people or how we compare to other people, it can really rob us of that joy. And what I love about what you're saying around this hypnosis is it ultimately comes down to changing your perspective to one that is more relevant to who you are and one that sustains you more effectively, one that is more in favor of what you want to achieve for you. Because of course, I think the positive remarks and the positive community that comes as a natural byproduct from that, right? But I feel like sometimes we really do lose sight of that. And as you say, when you allow hypnosis and corruption to kind of take over in that moment, it allows it to become the new framework that you work from. I am operating from a place of, this will help me to feel more at peace, rather than I need validation from others. Which ultimately is the same sticking point that weight loss communities have. Like, weight loss itself isn't necessarily bad if that's what you want to do. But when society says this is the only valid way forward, in order for you to be sexually viable, in order for you to be accepted, in order for you to be considered a good person, you must be seen to be losing weight, you must be seen to be dieting, you must be seen to be trying to turn your body into this thing. Maybe you don't want that, but like, the obligation is what trips up so many people into this depression that society casts. So I think anything that we can do as a community that helps lead us away from that negativity and into a place of joy, I think is wonderful. So really, Brian, you're a thought leader when it comes to community joy. And I hope you receive that, because it fucking worked on the pair of us. We are officially endorsing Brian for Gainer President 2024. What's your platform as Gainer President, by the way?
Something sturdy, probably made of steel. Can hold hundreds of pounds, thousands of pounds. I feel like there is like all that toxicity can like cloud our mind and like force us into a certain like mindset of like what we need. And I feel like hypnosis is a good way of getting people to A, back to like where they want it to be, and setting in that like mentality so that when you have had almost an entire pizza and then you hear that voice in your head, you want another slice. You want some more. You can do it. Like, as like we're just going about our day, that's the juiciest part. That's the best part.
It's rarely in the force and obligation. Like, and again, yes, that's hard and it's fun to be like, oh no, you're straddling me and then force feeding me, whatever shall I do, nom nom nom. But like, there is something very seductive about like, just in my day to day where I could make different decisions, some thought comes into my head that says, nah, like you could eat something. And don't you deserve to eat something? Wouldn't it make you feel good to eat something? Isn't it wonderful to eat? And then you do it, and it really is like soothing this like a ego almost that demands more for itself. And I wonder sometimes if that's what we struggle with as people, right? Again, not to try and get all psychosemantic about this, but like in culture, so many of us are raised to be like, don't be rude, don't demand, don't ask for things that aren't yours, you know, you have to share everything, and you know, don't ask for seconds, it's greedy, it's leftovers for dinner tomorrow, how dare you think that you should have, you know, and it becomes this narrative. And I know for me, growing up as one of five, I never fought for seconds, just how it was. So there really has to be, for me, and probably for a lot of other people, a real unlearning of those habits and a real relearning to indulge and really stroke that ego to say, no, no, you can have this. And not only that you can, but that you should. And not only that you should, but you will. Because it's going to feel so good when you do it. And oh, look, there you go. There's another piece down. So why don't you go and have another piece? You know, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm curious to ask about this part, though, because obviously there's questions about people and how they might feel about it. When you express this to people, typically, what is the response? Is it positive or is it a bit different?
For the most part, it's kind of positive. There is a skepticism with it, obviously, because it's not, hypnotism is usually like viewed as like a magic trick, which it's not. Like, it's all mental. Like, we have these desires, and some people are a little bit intimidated by that, a little bit scared of what that could result in. Like, there are so many gainers that go, they start enjoying it, and then they go, oh my god, I can't handle this. So there is a little bit of fear and there's skepticism, but for the most part it's usually positive if it's not done with like the gimmick of magic, because I've had people that are that basically talk about it like it's going to change everything and put these standards that you're expecting, and then when you don't get that result.
I feel like this is a comment, or rather a conversation, that we do come across a lot in the community. We talked, obviously, near the beginning of this entire show about, you know, fantasy versus reality. Managing expectations is a constant theme that we've had across so far. And even when we did our feeding roundtable, there is a lot to which people rely on fantasy to have these moments in the community, but because so little reality happens, they don't have that thought of, oh, I need to clarify this. They just think, if it happened this way in my fantasy, it must happen that way in reality. And we don't address how not great that is. For you, though, when it comes to, and of course, we can't know these things when we first start engaging, people have those expectations, and it's an unfortunate thing to learn that people maybe struggle with expressing those expectations. What have you learned to do to navigate, or rather prevent, the kind of negative ramifications when that scenario arises?
Probably just having conversations beforehand, learning who the person is, like, what do they like, what do they enjoy, what do they crave? And using that as the launching point. Like, somebody who enjoys eating a lot is much more easier to continue doing that than somebody who doesn't necessarily focus on that, and instead they enjoy the flavor and the textures in their mouths. So you kind of gear it towards the person, not what you want.
Tim, being that you are old enough to remember back when Egyptian pharaohs used to use hypnotism in the courts, I mean, yes. What is your impression?
It just can't be a regular question, can it? No.
I always have to qualify it with, Tim, because you're old. Because you're old, dust of the earth, old, mother dust.
God, what are you going to say to me when I actually am like in my 60s?
I mean, it'll go from mother dust to mother crust.
Yeah.
One, because crust pizza, and two, because you are old to be the crust of the earth. You know, like, we'll workshop it.
Got it.
But basically, as someone who has been around in other kink spaces for perhaps a little bit longer than Brian and I have, like, how do you see the use of something like hypnotism and corruption as a way of encouraging positive engagement within sex spaces?
I mean, ironically enough, they teach hypnotism at Claw quite a lot. There's usually there's at least one hypnosis class every year, and I have attended. And again, because I was kind of skeptical, I didn't stay for the whole thing. But I noticed that in that particular kink space, it's used to try and help people with their insecurities about their kink, or being more open about their kink, or being open to experiencing play scenarios and things like that. Sometimes it goes deeper. It's like people want to be hypnotized into being at the perfect sub, you know, so their dom only has to say one word and suddenly they're in subspace and, you know, they're ready for pretty much anything. And there you find quite a few people who are totally willing to do that. They're like, yes, please turn me into a mindless sex slave. you know, that's their flavor of kink. So yeah, I've seen it used a lot in the leather and bondage, spaces. So I knew it was inevitable until it bled over into other communities. And like I said, I've sat down to try to watch some of the gainer ones, just haven't had any success with them yet.
I want to ask, what is the biggest point around hypnosis and corruption that you think people need to be aware of?
Especially with corruption, I think it's allowing yourself to give in to the things you want. It's the encompassing of like your entire thought process. Just, yeah, I do love this. I want this. I want more. I deserve more. I can have more. It's almost intoxicating, especially when you incorporate other things that inhibit your mind. Just allowing yourself to be free and do that is my favorite part, because I limit myself so much in my daily life, so.
I mean, again, I think that is such a very normal human thing to do, to hold oneself back. And I mean, it's interesting when we talk about this in relation to fatness, the origins of fat phobia come from racism. If you read Sabrina String's Freeing the Black Body, there is a point in our history where we really pivot from, you know, size as a visual of a good Christian and a good Protestant. Oh, look at me, I am highly favored by the Lord. That's why I earn a lot of money and am therefore able to eat a lot of food and therefore I am fat. And it becomes, you know, actually, we must be chaste as religious folk. We mustn't encourage promiscuity. Sex before marriage really isn't okay. And in fact, temperance. And in fact, what we should do is eat less than what we're supposed to, because, you know, we humble ourselves before the Lord. We don't need to eat as much because we're too busy praying and devoting ourselves. All of this was to fly in the face of people from the African continent who were, of course, more shapely and more curvaceous, and white people wanting to distance themselves from that. So that whole societal mindset of, oh, don't eat too much, literally comes from an anti-fat rhetoric. So we are fighting an uphill battle on that front. But it's very important to know where this shit comes from, because we got to unpack it, right? We do have a listener question, which the question is, how does your love of hypnosis and corruption play into your civilian life?
I try not to, because not everybody wants it, and putting that on other people. But there is like certain people that they hold themselves back, and it's not like fully hypnotizing. It's just pushing them in the direction that they're already wanting to go, and just putting that seed in there for them to help them out. Like, oh, you want to go do this thing with your hair, do it. Like, you want to, right? You like the thing, just go for it. Like, come on. And it's almost like being the angel or devil on someone's ear.
I mean, we joked about this on the cruise, like that you were a little devil, like, and that is absolutely how it kind of played out. You know, like if you think Emperor's New Groove with Kronk with the little angel and devil on the shoulders, you were the little devil, but instead of being all big and buff, you were like sort of round and puffy, you know, like a little cutie, just like, hey, you should think about having that little something to eat, you know. It was just so cute. And you're adorable. When we do the socials at the end, people won't get to see you are adorable. Like, how can you say no to this adorable, adorable little guy? Oh my God. But I think it's also fair to create distance in real life, because once again, it's that question of fantasy and reality, that question of consent, that question of what is real, what is appropriate for the moment. And I'm really glad that you obviously have that wherewithal, because sometimes I do worry that as gainers, we forget ourselves in certain circumstances.
Yeah, so that's part of why I have that separation, is because not everybody wants it. Having that separation for others, like I, throughout my daily life, to myself, remind myself and listen to those things to put me back in my mindset, but I'm not going to be putting it out for others because they don't necessarily want that, and you can't force it.
I just wondered to myself, like, is there an argument that maybe something we should, because I know I joked about this before, right? Like, let's tap into this, let's sell it as a program, let's get the gainers onto it, let's make some money. But like, genuinely, as like a process that could genuinely help people who are new to the community to iron out their attractions and how they maybe want to approach gaining, like, is there an argument that maybe there needs to be more conversation around a safe inclusion for hypnosis and corruption within gaining spaces? Or do you reckon it could still be kept as like a referral base only?
I feel like a lot of beginners wouldn't like it, because there is a stigma that comes with it of like, I'm putting my will onto you. And so, especially when people are starting, they already have that fear that this isn't what they want. But for those that do want it, it's like once they've established themselves a little bit more, I think it's in that space where you've accepted it, you're starting to go with it, and then pushing your limits within reason and helping you get to where you want. Or as opposed to like for a beginner, there's just too much static to create that path.
I'm curious, for anyone who maybe wants to learn more, because personally, I'd love to. You know, I think it would make feeding and gating sessions where I get to be the giver a little bit more interesting. But also, if it's something I can apply to myself in a way, you know, where would you recommend that people look for this information? Or perhaps a question of how do you discern who to learn from?
I've noticed that since like 2020, a lot of the hypnosis has either been drowned out or not easy to find. Because before there used to be more websites and people would post frequently on YouTube and things like that, all of these hypnosis stuff. But I feel like it's kind of died down in the past couple years, where people are trading files. Like, oh, I have this MP4. Do you want this one? Like, it's like trading Pokemon cards. So definitely like actually finding somebody who's into it and having a conversation with them outside of the kinkdom and like when you're being horny, like have that when you have a clear mind. Have the conversation, learn about it. And I think we can all practice it very easily. It's your daily mantra, your 10 minutes of decompressing after work, giving yourself that space to clear your mind, put those thoughts into your head that you want to incorporate into your life, however it is. I think that's how we can, like, at least on an individual level and in our daily life, because online it's a little bit harder. And sometimes some of the people are out there just for money and they promise complete life change when it's a little bit more incremental.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you feel like there's an aspect to this conversation that we haven't touched on yet?
There is one thing that I always equate corruption and hypnosis too, is it's a seed, and you nurture it, you water it, you take care of it, and you let the roots get around you and move your hand. But that's down the line. For now, just remember to nurture it.
And I suppose if I could maybe round out here with the final question, what do you want to see out of the future of hypnosis, corruption, all of that? What do you want to see out of the future of that in the gaining community?
I want to see it come back more, because people aren't doing it as much as they used to, at least online. I think letting people have that space to do what they want would be great. I want to, like, for me, a lot of it is in person. The audio tracks and all that are fine, but in person, when you're one-on-one with someone and you're able to give that space, have that community, I want to see more of it.
So what have we learned today? There's more reality to this than meets the eye. Community is key, consent is key, and understanding the expectations, the limitations, and the realities of it is also key. It's something that, to my mind, maybe seems a little bit misunderstood and probably surrounded in expectation, but I think it's wonderful that you're here to have that conversation. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here today. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me on. It's been awesome to be able to talk about it, because it's not a conversation I normally have.
There you go, then. Now, where can our listeners find you online?
I am on Instagram, Grommer. I think I have Threads, but it's all under Gyrich Piggy, which is GWRYCH Piggy.
Well, that's it for another week here on Thick Radio. Please remember to like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a good review. Now, if you liked this episode, the podcast, or just us in general, share it with your friends and encourage them to tune in. You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky at Stanham.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at Thicky Mouse. You can also look us up on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Thick Radio, or at our website at podpage.com/thickradio. If you want to submit a voice note or become a financial supporter of the show, you can find the link in the show notes. And you can also write to us at thethickradio@gmail.com. So until next time, bye fats.
Bye fats.
Bye fats.
Let's talk about it.
Thick Radio is a Patreon and Anchor app podcast produced by Stan and Thicky Mouse.
Mixed and mastered by Stan.
Our artwork is provided by Lokitu.
Our theme song is provided by Bonfire Cream.